to 1 John chapter 3. I'm always glad when your pastor asks me to come and preach. I enjoy being with you. One of the things that I love about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's one church. And I'm just as much a part of this church as I am Todd's Road Grace Church. I mean, we're believers. And isn't that wonderful? That's very special. I'm thankful for that great privilege. And glad being with you. 1 John chapter 3. Get my glasses. Before I read the text, the way I generally feel about the way the Lord views me is that He tolerates me for Christ's sake, and that He endures me. You ever feel that way? I know you do. But read this passage of Scripture, and I hope the Lord will enable us to enter in to how He sees us if we're believers, and how we really are. I'd like to read the sixth verse of 1 John chapter 3. I've entitled this message, "Believers Do Not Sin." Let's read this sixth verse together. "Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him." Now, do you hear what verse 6 says? In abiding in Christ, that man or woman who abides in Christ sinneth not. He does not sin. It does not say his sins are forgiven, although they are. It does not say his sins are not imputed to him, although they're not. It says that one who abides in the Lord Jesus Christ sinneth not. Now, what does John mean by sin? The context of this passage tells us in verse 4, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law, God's holy law. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." That man who abides in Christ has had no gods before God. "Thou shalt not commit idolatry." That man who abides in Christ has never been guilty of committing idolatry. He's never taken God's name in vain. He's never broken the Sabbath. He's honored his father and his mother in all God-given authority. He has never killed. He has never committed sexual sin. He has never stolen. He has never borne false witness. And he has never coveted. He sinneth not. "All these have I kept from my youth up." That is the testimony. That's God's testimony of every believer. Now, how can that be? Because even when I say that, there's something in me that says, how can that be? Because the fact of the matter is, I do sin. And 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. And verse 10 says, if we say we've not sinned, and that's talking about any action we do. If we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar because he says we have regarding every action we do. Now that's God's testimony. Yet it also says, if we abide in him, we don't sin. Look in verse 5. How can this be? And you know that he was manifested to take away our sin. You remember on the great day of atonement when the high priest put his hands on the head of that scapegoat and it was led by a fit man into the wilderness, into a land not inhabited, signifying the taking away of sins. But did it take away sin? No. But did he? He was manifested to take away our sins. And that's exactly what he did on the cross. He took away our sins. They're no more. They're gone. They're blotted out. And in him is no sin. That means that if I'm in him, I have no sin. Abiding in him means that I, in my person, do not sin. Look at this description of the believer in Psalm 119. Hold your finger there and look in Psalm 119. This passage of Scripture used to bother me a lot before I understood it. Verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Now this is a description of every believer. Do you hear that? They do no iniquity. When God looks at every believer, he sees someone who is worthy of fellowship and communion with him. They do no iniquity. Now my conscience tells me that all I do is sin. I can't get away from that, even while I'm saying this. But the Word of God tells that one who abides in Christ, they don't sin. Let's go on reading. Verse 6. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth, 1 John 3, verse 6, hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed, the seed of God, remaineth in him. He cannot sin. He lacks the ability to sin because he is born of God. Can that which is born of God sin? Absolutely not. Now, what I want us to consider is, what is this thing of abiding in Christ? He says, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. So the only way that you and I can enter into this is if we abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what does it mean to abide in Christ? Now this word abide, whoso abideth in him, sinneth not. It's translated by six other words in the New Testament. Continue, whoever continues in him. Whoever dwells in him. whoever endures in him, whoever remains in him, whoever stands in him, whoever tarries in him. You know, you only tarry in a place where you like being. You tarry around because you like being there, don't you? You don't want to leave. Whoso tarries in him sins not. Now, here's the first thing that I'd like to consider in this verse of Scripture. In Christ, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Now, this is the biggest thing in the Bible. In Christ. Biggest thing in the Bible. And I know that every time I try to deal with this, I feel a measure of frustration and a sense of failure, because I know that I can't say what ought to be said about this thing of being in Christ. But you think of the baptism of our Lord. You remember that voice that came from heaven? This is my beloved Son. This is the Son of my love, in whom I am well pleased. If I'm in him, God is well pleased with me. He doesn't endure me. He doesn't tolerate me. He doesn't put up with me. He is well pleased. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, we read, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead in a body, and you are complete. Nothing lacking. All that God requires, you have. You don't have just the minimum, you've got the maximum. You've got everything in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are complete in him. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. All the promises of God in him are what? Yea and amen. There's nothing you need to do in order to make them come to pass. They're all yea. They're all amen. No conditions you must first meet. They're all yea and amen. All of God's love is in Christ Jesus. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. All of God's purpose is in Christ. We read in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. Ephesians 1 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, is it any wonder that Paul the Apostle said, oh, that I may win Christ and be found in this is all I want. This is all I desire. As God is my witness, this is all I want. That when God the Father looks at me, all he sees is his Son. Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in him. Now, if I'm in Christ, I've always been in Christ. There was never a time when I was not in Christ. I'm eternally united to him. Now, what does it mean to be in Christ? Well, the Scripture gives us a lot of examples of what it means to be in Christ, but I want to bring three that tie together that are a blessing to me to think about. First example is Hebrews chapter 7. I use this all the time. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, where it says, when Abraham paid tithes, Levi paid tithes. Now, Levi wasn't born, but it doesn't say it's as if he paid tithes. It said he paid those tithes because he paid them in the loins of his father Abraham. When Abraham paid tithes, Levi paid tithes. Now, here's another scripture that illustrates union. By one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin. This is talking about Adam's transgression. and we're united to him, what he did, we did. For by one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men in that all sinned. Now, do you hear what that says? It doesn't say his sin was charged us. It says when he sinned, we sinned. I personally sinned when Adam sinned because I'm united to him. What he did, I did. Now, here's the crowning verse to me. Turn to Matthew chapter 3. This is the Lord's baptism. I read this week and it was just thrilling to me. Verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Now put yourself in John's place. What if the Lord Jesus Christ said, I want you to baptize me? Would you feel unqualified? But John forbade him, saying, I need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh, what's that next word? Us. To fulfill all righteousness. Everything he did as an us. He says to poor old Todd Nybert, thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Now, what is this thing of abiding in Christ? Now, I've always been in him, if I'm in him, but there's something conscious about this. There's something I'm conscious of if I'm abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. What is this thing of abiding in Christ? It's active. It's not passive, it's active. It's something I'm doing. Dwelling, enduring, remaining, standing, tarrying in Christ. Now listen real carefully. Abiding in Christ is a conscious desire to not be anywhere else. There's no other place you want to be. And you determine in your heart you do not want to be anywhere else because there's nothing else that can compare with being in him. Now, not too long ago, 45 minutes ago, half an hour ago, you walked into this room. You left a place and you walked into this room. Now what if in this room you're sitting in right now, everything you could possibly want was found in this room? Comfort, security, pleasure, safety, good food, great friends, a great, encouraging atmosphere, complete satisfaction, beauty, no sin, no wrongdoing, absolute justice, pure mercy, a place where your highest goals are realized. And nothing like that is outside of this room. In this room, there's peace, there's joy, there's safety, there's no tears, there's no pain. And outside of this room, there's nothing like that. There's nothing. Would you ever want to leave this room? If everything you wanted was in this room and nothing you wanted was outside of this room, nothing, would you ever want to leave this room? No. You'd say, I want to stay here. I don't want to be anywhere else. You would continue in this room. You'd dwell in this room. You would endure in this room. You'd remain in this room. You'd stand in this room. You'd tarry in this room. I think of what the Lord said to his disciples when he's watching the 5,000 leave. He said, you fellas want to leave too? There's the door. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. truly, we don't want to be anywhere else. Now, when I abide in Christ, that means the only place I want to be, when God comes looking for me, there's only one place I want to be. That's in His Son. So all that He sees is His Son. Thus it becometh us that His righteousness, I'm an us in that. I'm one of those us's. That His righteousness is actually mine. Now whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not, because in Him is no sin. You are looking at a man who has no sin. I'm looking at some men and women who have no sin. This is what the Bible calls justification. You know what justification is? It means you don't have any sin. It means you don't have anything to feel guilty about. It means you stand perfect before God. It means when He looks at you, He sees you as holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. That poor old publican beating on his breast, God be merciful to me, the sinner. He felt his sin. He was conscious of his sin. There's no question about that. But what did the Lord say about him? He said, I say to you, that man went down to his house, what?
Justified.
Not forgiven, although he was, but justified. He had no sin. Would you turn to 1 John chapter 2? Go back to 1 John. Now remember, this thing of abiding in Christ is a conscious desire to not be anywhere else. All God sees me is as He sees me in His Son. And 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, we read, and now little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Now, this is something that I have such a hard time getting a hold of. I think of the Lord looking at me, and I feel like I'd have to look down. But abiding in Him, I have absolutely nothing to be ashamed of. Put my life up on a screen. That's a scary thought, isn't it? No, it's not. All you're going to see is perfection. Abiding in Him, I have no sin. His life is my life before God. His righteousness is my righteousness before God. I have no sin. As He is, so are we in this world. He has no sin, I have no sin. He's perfectly righteous, I'm perfectly righteous. Now this is how real this thing of union with Christ is. Whatever He is, every believer is. Everything He did as an us. I've quoted this. Turn over to 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness, confidence in the day of judgment. Now, can you imagine that? Having confidence, no fear. God looking at me, judging me, have nothing to be afraid of, nothing to be ashamed of, knowing I'm going to be accepted, because as He is, so are we in this world right now. Ephesians 1:12 says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Now, I'm not going to be ashamed for one reason. I have nothing to be ashamed of. You believe that? You believe the salvation that's in Christ is so complete that you'll stand before God with nothing to be ashamed of. Isn't that wonderful? Abiding in Christ enables us to have this confidence toward judgment day. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. You're right there. Look at verse 27. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. But the anointing which you've received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. Now this is the anointing of God the Holy Spirit. You've been anointed by God the Holy Spirit when you say, oh, that I may win Christ and be found in him. I don't want to have it. What is the anointing? You know, people think, what happens when you're anointed by the Holy Spirit? What feel, you know, what? Well, here's what happens. You say, oh, let me be found in Christ. Let me be nowhere else. You see, we will be seduced away from this. Look in verse 26. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Try to draw you away from this thing of simply abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hold your finger there and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul says in verse 3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity, the singleness, the onlyness, the wholeness that's in Christ. That means that if I'm in him, all God sees is him. He is all in salvation. That's the unction of the Holy One. Look in 1 John 3:24. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him. That's the same word, abideth in him. And he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. It's that man who keeps the commandments of Christ that abides in him. And we don't have to speculate as to what he meant by keeping his commandments. Look up in verse 23 of this same chapter. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Now, I really do believe on the name of his Son. I believe his name is my name before God. I believe for his name's sake, I'm going to be brought into glory. I really do. I'm relying on his name. You know what? I love people who love him. I really do. I love anybody who loves the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm their fan. Turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now, when the Lord said this, it was a couple of years before the Lord's table. This has nothing to do with eating the bread and drinking the wine and it representing the Lord's table. That had not yet been instituted when he made this statement. And the Lord is not referring to cannibalism. I'm sure of that. When the Lord is speaking of his flesh and his blood, he's talking about his life and his death. When you eat something, it's in you. It becomes part of you, and it's what you live on. And every believer lives off his life and off his death. That's all I can live on. I can't live on, you give me anything else, I can't live on it. I live off his life and his death. Verse 54, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me. That's the same word, abideth in me. And I in him. Turn to John 15. Verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. You abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will bring forth much fruit. Now you try to bear fruit, won't work. You try to make it grow or make it come out, it won't work. You abide in Christ, and you will bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You abide in Christ. You'll bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And look in verse 6 and 7. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered. Men gather them and cast them into the fire and they're burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Now if you abide in him, here's what's going to happen. His words will abide in you. You shall ask what you will and it shall be done to you. Abiding in Christ, we have the very ear of God. That's his promise. Now I want to conclude this message with an if and an ought. Look once again in verse 7. If, John 15, verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. If is a condition. If you abide in me. Now, when those Israelites were in the house with the blood over the door, what happened if they stayed in the house? They were secure. What happened if they went outside of the house? They were destroyed. Only if you stayed in the house with the blood over the door were you secure. If is a condition. And we must abide in him and do whatever it takes to abide in him, whatever that means. I don't even know what it means except to say, Lord, I just want to be found in Christ at all times. I don't know how to go about this. Lord, let me be found in Christ. Some seem to begin in him, but they don't continue. They went out from us, but they were not all of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, that they were not all of us. Our Lord said, if you continue, abide in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. 2 John 2:9 says, whoso transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. There is an abiding. There is an abiding. Now would you turn back to 1 John chapter 2? Here's the ought. An if and an ought. 6. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Now you take that as far as you can. How did he walk? In complete reliance. In obedience. In submission. In humility. You know, this is something that I've been thinking about quite often. If the Lord washed your feet, Would you count it as an act of condescension on his part to do that? Sure you would. But he didn't. He didn't. He said, I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. How did he walk? In love, in zeal, in the light of the gospel, in faithfulness. If we abide in him, we ought also to walk, even as he walked. Whoso abideth in him sinneth not. If I abide in him, I don't sin. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Let's pray.